We begin the current daf as Maseches Gittin, daf Pei Dalet. Begin on the second line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion from the previous dafim, which was discussing the Machlekes in our Mishnah regarding if someone divorces his wife, and he tells her the way it's usually said, Hareyat Meteres L'Chaladam, with this get you permitted to every single person, but except for that person. And again, there was a Machlekes in the Mishnah, if the Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan were in the case of Chutz Mipleini, or in the case of Amanas, on the condition that you don't marry that Pleini. But either way, the ones who hold that it's kosher hold that there is a unique halacha that is learned out from Sukkim that one can go ahead and do a partial gerushin and still permit for the woman to be permitted to those people who the gerushin was for. Whereas the Chacham hold that no, it's not a krisis. It has to be totally a severance. And if you're making the gerushin on the condition that still one person is going to be forbidden, it's not a total severance and therefore it's not going to be a valid gerushin. Now, a related discussion, the Gemara brings Tan Rabban following Braisa. If someone says, this is the get to your wife. Now, it's actually almost the opposite of the cases we were discussing up until now. Up until now, we were discussing cases where he says, on the condition that you don't marry that person. So it's somewhat of a shear in the get that would be problematic, possibly, with creases. But here, actually, the condition is the other way around. It says, this is your get, amanas, which a husband generally could make any condition, stipulation that he wants to in the execution of the get. So he says, I'm giving you this get on the condition shetinasi lipleini, that you get married to that guy. Says the Braisa, harezu loy tinasi. She should not get married. Vimnisis loy teitze, but if she gets married, then she doesn't leave that marriage. Now the Gemara wonders, my kamar, what is the town of this Braisa saying? When the town of the Braisa is saying she shouldn't get married, to whom? Who shouldn't she get married to? Is the Braisa saying that although the husband said, look, I'm divorcing you, but it's on the condition that you marry that guy. So is the Braisa saying she should not get married to that guy? Or is the Braisa saying she shouldn't get married to anyone? What is the Braisa saying? So Amar Rav Nachman, he says, this is what the Tana of the Braisa is saying. The Tana of the Braisa is saying, Harezu loy tinasile. Don't listen to the husband's giving you a get. He's saying, on condition, I'm divorcing you, that you go ahead and marry, let's say, this friend of mine. And that the Tana of the Braisa is saying, she should not marry that guy. Why? What's the problem? That was the stipulation for the tonight. What's wrong with listening to that tonight? The reason is Shema Yemru Nesheyin Noisnim B'matana. Problem is people are going to start saying things that are very inappropriate. They're going to start saying that men are giving away their wives as gifts, which means to say, I'll give it to this guy that's a friend of mine because that's the only way she's letting him leave him, it's on the condition that she marries that guy. So we don't want people to say that. So don't utilize this gerushin as the only avenue, and then you can go ahead and marry that guy. Don't marry that guy. Now, and that is what the Braisa says, v'imnis is la'achar, and actually following along this same point. And it doesn't say loy and achar, that's what's being filled in over here in the different interpretations of the Gemara. So he was saying when it says in the Braisa, loy tinasi, don't get married, it means loy to that guy who the husband says, I want you to get married to. And then when the Braisa says v'imnis, but if she does get married, it means that she gets married la'achar to someone else, then loy teitzei, she should not leave that other guy. In other words, because the rabbis wanted to do the opposite of what this guy was making the stipulation. Because his stipulation is totally inappropriate. It's making it sound like that men are giving away their wives as gifts. So don't marry the guy that he said. And actually, if you marry someone else, don't leave that marriage. Now, that the Gemara asked on this interpretation of Rav Nachman. Umishum gezeira, because of a rabbinic concern that people are going to start saying rumors that men are giving away their wives as gifts, so then, if let's say she marries someone else, we don't make her leave the marriage from that other person, but her condition was never met, which the condition was only if you marry that guy. Hence, if she's marrying someone else, the get's going to be batal. So because of our rabbinic concern, Vasharin and Ashes Ishliyam are going to permit a married woman to the world. In other words, she's still married now to her original husband because he only divorced on the condition she marries this other guy. And she didn't. She married someone else. So that's not a fulfillment. So how can you say we don't remove it because of the rabbinic concern of what people are going to say? What do you mean? She's an Ashes Ish. She can't stay married to that guy because rabbinic concerns we allow a biblical Ashes Ish, a married woman? So Ela Amar Rav Nachman, rather Rav Nachman says, no hachikama. Different interpretation of what the Braisa says. Harezu loy tinasi, when it says that she shouldn't get married, it meant loy. Like we said before, she should not marry that guy who the husband said, on condition that you marry that guy. Again, shema yemru nesheim nesim matana, because maybe people are going to say that men are giving away their wives as gifts. Now, but then when the Braisa said, v'imnisis, but if she did get married, here Rav Nachman changes it. He says, the Braisa is saying, v'imnisis loy, that if she marries that guy, who really we don't want her to, which the husband stipulated that she has to get married to that guy, And if she does get married to him, that's what the Braisa was saying, Loi Teitzei, she does not leave that marriage. Because of rabbinic concern about what people are going to say, we don't make her leave that marriage because there's no real isser. It's just concern for the types of wording and vulgarity that's going to be caused because of this. The people are going to say that men are giving away their wives as gifts. Okay, so initially we don't want it to happen, but if she married him, we don't make her leave that marriage. That's how Rav Nachman interprets the Braisa. On that, Amalei Rava. Rava asked on Rav Nachman, wait a second, he's being medayik now according to Rav Nachman's interpretation in the words of the Braisa. So it sounds like, loihu deloi tinase. You're learning that the Braisa is saying that harezu loi tinase, when it says so she shouldn't get married, who do you say, how do you learn the Braisa? She shouldn't get married to that guy. Now, hala achar tinase, based on your interpretation, it sounds like from the Braisa, that but other people she could marry. And in other words, it is a valid get. Now, why would you say that? Because the husband didn't say, on the condition that you don't marry anyone but that guy. He only said, on condition that you marry that guy. Now, the problem with this, says Rava, is, but she has to fulfill the condition, which was, it's only a get if she marries that guy, and she's not marrying the guy, she's marrying someone else. Now, if you're going to say, okay, not a problem, maybe today she married this other guy, and tomorrow that other guy will divorce her. So she'll get divorced from that second guy tomorrow. And then the following day, she'll fulfill her condition, which was the stipulation in the first place that it'll be a get. Because then, when she finally gets divorced from that other guy, she'll marry that guy that the condition was to fulfill the condition, and therefore it's going to be a valid get. Now, moreover, says Rabba, obviously this reasoning, as he's telling this to Rav Nachman, would only be, ulahach de pligas oled Rav Yehuda, only the way you argued on Rav Yehuda, kemedamisle, which is that your understanding was that we're not concerned that a person might not fulfill a condition that's inherent in a certain prohibition. In other words, that would be the understanding. He's still forewarning. Rav is saying, look, and maybe you would tell me that's not a difficulty because, yeah, she could marry someone else, even though the condition was she has to marry this other guy. What does that mean? Meaning she'll get married to him, and then whatever it is, a year later she'll get divorced from him, and then she'll marry this other guy, so it will be a fulfillment of the condition. It didn't say you can't marry anyone else, just you got to marry this guy. Now, a woman can't be married to two men at the same time, but she'll get divorced from him at a later point in time and marry this other guy. Now, moreover, the only way that approach would work would be like the way you, Rav Nachman, disagree with Rabbi Huda, and you hold that a person could be trusted to do something that is a possible iser if you don't fulfill a condition, because we're not concerned. We think that you'll fulfill your condition. The Itmar, like we learned, let's say someone makes a neder, he says, I take a neder for my eyes from sleeping today. Meaning, I'm not allowed to sleep today. If I sleep tomorrow, then there's, in other words, if I don't sleep tomorrow, then there's no iser sleeping today. But if I sleep tomorrow, then for today, there's a neder, I'm not allowed to sleep today. Now, on that, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Al yishan hayem. The person should not sleep today. Why? Shema yishan lamachar. He might sleep tomorrow. And if he's going to sleep tomorrow and he's sleeping today, then retroactively it will be revealed that he violated his neder today. But Rav Nachman Amar, he disagreed. He said, no, yishan hayayim, the person could sleep today, and tomorrow he'll fulfill his condition, and he won't sleep. And ve'en chayshin shema yishan lamacha, we're not concerned that he's going to sleep tomorrow. So, and that says Rav to Rav Nachman. Now, even if we'll go with your opinion, as it's quoted elsewhere regarding that neder, that a person could fulfill the condition at a later point in time, even if, let's say, they don't, turns out that they have violated an issur retroactively, so maybe you'll say the same thing over here. She could marry someone else, and yes, if she didn't fulfill the Tanai ultimately, then it'll be that she was being mezana because she was really an Aisha Sish, but not a problem. She'll fulfill it at a later point in time. We trust the person that'll fulfill the condition. And that says, Rav Trav Nachman, Hochi Hashti, can you compare the two cases? Hasam, by that halacha, where you hold a person is trustworthy to fulfill the condition, that's bididei kaima. That's because it's within the person's ability to fulfill that conditions. Why? Because that person wants to, yes, you let him sleep today because he'll fulfill the condition of not sleeping tomorrow. How? Mavriz nafshe bisl vasa. He'll go ahead and he'll prick his flesh constantly the whole day with thorns. And he won't fall asleep, meaning it's within the person's ability to make sure that they fulfill the condition the next day. But hacha, but here in this situation of this woman, what? You think it's within her ability to create divorce? She doesn't divorce the husband. The husband has to divorce her. And therefore, how can you learn up this braisa by saying that the Isser that the Brice is talking about Harizu like to Nasi is only to this guy, again, because we don't want people to make rumors about that women are being given over as gifts, but it sounds like that what, but other men she could marry, how could she marry them? Now, so you'd say, okay, yes, because she'll fulfill a condition at a later point in time. How? Even you, who you're not concerned about a person not fulfilling the condition, is only if they have it in their wherewithal. Here she doesn't have in the wherewithal. The husband could decide. He doesn't want to ever divorce her, and therefore she's going to have never fulfilled it tonight, and it's going to turn out that she was violating it Issa of Eisha Sish all along. So Elam Rava, rather Rava, gives a different interpretation in this Braisa. He says, when the Braisa said, Harezu lo tinase, this case of the woman, who the husband gave her a get on the condition she marries that guy, when the Braisa says she shouldn't get married, it was loy loy v'loy la'achar. This woman shouldn't marry anybody. Not the guy that the husband said that on condition you marry him, and neither anyone else. Why? Loy loy tinase, him she shouldn't get married to, that's like we said before. Shema yemin ishaseim nisim matana, because people are going to say that men are giving away their wives as gifts because on condition you marry him. La'achar loy tinase, more of it says rather the Braisa also means she's not allowed to marry anyone else. Debayi kiyum l'tana. Because you have to fulfill the condition. If you're going to marry someone else, even if you hold a Grav Nachman that we trust you'll fulfill the condition later on, that's only if it's in your wherewithal. And here it's not in your wherewithal. And therefore, according to everybody, the way Rav is interpreting the Braisa is, she can't marry anybody. Now, then he continues the Braisa. When the Braisa then said, V'imnisis, but if she did get married, who is that a reference to that the Braisa was saying, Loi Teitze? If she gets married to Loi, to this guy, then Loi Teitze. Why not? Why doesn't she have to leave that marriage? Because, yes, the rabbinic concern is we shouldn't initially do that, but because of the rabbinic concern of what people are going to say, we don't make her leave a marriage. But la'achar, but says Rava, if she got married to someone else, then actually the Braisa would hold teitze, she would have to leave that marriage. Again, because the boy, because you have to fill the condition. And if you don't end up filling the condition, and we don't have any reason to know that you will for sure fulfill it, it will turn out retroactively this was a marriage of Eishes Ish, of a prohibited marriage, and that's why you have to leave the marriage until you go ahead and you first fulfill the condition by marrying that other guy first. And the Gemara concludes, Tanya Kavo say the Rav, we have a Braisa that supports and says, just like Rav had interpreted this Braisa says clearly, Harezu loy tinase. This woman of this case that we described, which was Amanasha Tenasi Lepleini, she shouldn't get married loy loy v'loy la'achar, not to him and not to others, as we explained. Then this is, if she gets married loy to him, loy teitze, but la'achar teitze, if she gets married to someone else, then she has to leave exactly as Rava had interpreted the Braisa. Now, continuing on this theme about, again, making conditions on a get, and what are the ramifications in halacha, so the Gemara brings Tana Rabban Luna Braisa. Hareza Gitech, if a man tells his wife, this is your get, Amanas on condition should tali l'riki that you go up into the heavens. Or amanas should teidi l'tama that you go down into the depths of the earth. Or amanas should tivli kondesh al dal ramas on condition that you swallow a reed that's 4 amas long. Or amanas should tivli kondesh ben kof ama oy that you bring me a reed that's 100 amas long. Or amanas should tavri yesayam ha-godl b'raglecha that you cross the great sea by foot. So says the Tanakama, ain't a get. It's not a get because you have to fulfill the conditions, and these stipulations will never be met because they're impossible. So it's obviously not a get. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema mikazeg get. He says, no, these types of cases are actually a valid get. Why? So the Braisa says, Klal om Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. He says a general rule. Kol t'nai she'ef shaloi l'kaima b'soifa. Any condition that's impossible for the person to have fulfilled in the end, yet v'hisna lo mitchalasa, but that the person makes a stipulation in the beginning that this has to be met. It's essentially like the person is just pushing away the person, just wants to paint them with empty phrases that have no meaning, but kosher, and actually the get's going to be kosher, because the tnai has no substance. It's not a real condition. What does that mean? What do you mean, fly in the heavens? You can't do that. So it's just a joke, it's just mocking the person, and therefore actually it's not even halachically considered as a tnai, and therefore it actually is a valid get. Now, Amr of Nachman Marav, he says, Halacha kribhudim and tamen, halacha falls like him. And if it's something that's impossible to do, like walking across the ocean, so then if he makes such a condition, you don't have to keep it, and it actually is a valid get. Now, Amr of Nachman Meyitzchok, he actually says, Masnit namideka. There's a Mishnah, Mesechtes Bab Metzia, Naftzadi Dalmanav, that actually the precise reading seems to indicate that the halacha is like kribhudim and tamen. The Ketanim, because we learned over there in the Mishnah, it says, Kol, any condition, that could be fulfilled at the end, and there was a conditions of like that attached in the beginning, so that's a valid condition that has to be met. So says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, what the inference is, ho'i'efsha, but if it's not possible to have been accomplished, t'nai batal, then the t'nai is void. Shmaminov, and then we hear that the Stam Mishnah in Masechtas Bava Metzia is saying, just like Yehuda ben Tema, again, regarding that if it's something impossible, then actually you don't have to fulfill those conditions. Now, however, related to this halacha, the Gemara brings Iba Iluhud, the following question. Let's say a husband tells his wife, Ariza Gitach, this is your get, Amenasha Techli Boster Chazer, on the condition that you eat swine meat, treif, something totally forbidden. Maho, what's the halacha over there? So we have a machlekes. Amabai, he says, he eats the same thing. Just like I can't walk across the ocean, I can't eat chazer. It's forbidden. A Jew's not allowed to do that. And therefore, since he knew that it's impossible, so it's like maflik bedvarm. And therefore, like the halacha is like a Yehuda ben Tema, that you don't have to fulfill the condition and it's a valid get. Rav Amar, he disagrees. He says, no. Efshar ta'achla b'lakya, you have free will. According to ben Tema, he would hold that it is a valid condition. Even though things that are impossible, he holds is not, this is possible. You could eat and get lashes, you could violate the Isser. Therefore, says Rava, that it's considered a valid t'nai. And if you don't eat the chaser, then it's not going to be a get. So the Gemara explains that le'abaya, according to Abaya, klal, this that the Brisa said the words klal omer Rehudim is saying a general rule regarding that when it's which is inclusive term, there's a general rule, not just the cases that we said, that are including things that are impossible to fulfill. They're not considered a valid t'nai. That's lasuya basa chaser. He says that general rules are coming to include the case of also eating non-kosher, which is also impossible to fulfill. And therefore, you don't have to fulfill the t'nai. And therefore, it's a valid get. Whereas L'Rava, his deek is from the other word of Yehuda ben Tema, which is when he said kezeh get, like such a case is going to be a get, which that's an exclusionary term, saying but other cases which might be similar are not going to be a get because you have to fulfill it. L'mu'ute basachaz, he holds actually that's coming to exclude the case of eating non-kosher. In other words, when he says kezeget, because it's really impossible to fulfill, even with free will. Therefore, the t'nai is going to be batal. But says Rava, what he's being medayik from the words of Yehuda ben Tema is, but if the husband's condition was to violate a precept in the Torah, which you could fulfill, albeit prohibitory, it's something that's forbidden, then even though you're going to get lashes, but you could do it, and therefore it is considered a valid t'nai, and therefore since you're not going to do it, it's not going to be considered a valid get. That's machlekes Abaye and Rava. If something that's prohibited, is that considered like something that you can't do? Is that included in Yehuda ben Tema's klal? So the Gemara says, Meisiv, the Gemara asks on Rava's interpretation for the following Braisa. The Braisa says, if a husband tells his wife, Hariza gitich, this is your get, amanas shetiv oli lepleini, on the condition that you have cohabitation with that man. He didn't specify, I don't care how you cohabit. It could be with snus, meaning unmarried. It could be through marriage. I don't care. The condition is you have to have bia with that man. In the sky, my t'nai, raise a get. So the Brisa says, look, if you fulfill the condition, however it took, you had bia with that man, then it's a valid get. Vimlav ain't a get. If you didn't do it, it's not a get. You didn't fulfill the condition. That's one case. Then the Brisa continues. Let's say he said, amanas shloitiv ali la'abu l'avicha. This is going to be your get on the condition that you don't have bia with my father or your father. Says the Braisa, we're not concerned that maybe she's going to have be with her father or her father-in-law. In other words, what the Braisa is coming to say is that she's permitted to get married right away, and we're not concerned that maybe she would ultimately have be with them, which would thus nullify the get. Now, in contrast, but let's say when he tells her on the condition that you don't have be with that man, actually, as Rashi says, it wouldn't be a get, because maybe ultimately she would have be with that man, and therefore that's problematic, because that's similar to the halacha where he tells her on the condition that you never go to your father's house forever, where since that's something that's binding till the day that she dies, it's not a valid get, because that's not a total severance. Same thing for this guy, it's till the day that she dies, that she's forbidden, that she has this problem regarding having be with that person, and if she does, then it's going to be mevatel the get. So that's how Rashi interprets that actually in such a case, it would be problematic and it wouldn't be a get. But by father and father-in-law, we're not concerned she's going to do that, and therefore that's considered a valid gerushin and she's divorced right away. Now, however, the Gemara is medayik from the cases that the Braisa talks about. So the one case that it spoke about was on condition that you don't have be with my father or your father. Now, ve'ilo, however, whereas the case of amanas shetivali la'abu l'avicha, regarding a case of that if he says on condition that you do have be with my father and your father, that loikatani, that the Braisa doesn't mention that is also going to be a valid t'nai. You know, it said it is a valid t'nai in all these cases, It just said, so what are the ramifications of that halacha? But it doesn't mention this as another case of a valid tanai. Obviously, because that would not be a valid condition. Now, labaya nicha. So that makes sense according to Abaya, because according to him, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema holds that even if you're not going to fulfill the condition of, let's say, doing something prohibited, like having beer with one of the arayas, a father or a father-in-law, it's still going to be a get. Because you're right, it's not a valid tanai. That's why the Braisa doesn't mention it. But l'Rava Kasha, according to Rava, it's difficult because he said that even Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema would agree that it is going to be a valid tanai. So why doesn't the Braisa say that? Why is the Braisa only mention the case of not having beer with your father and my father? Why doesn't it mention the case of also being a valid tanai of having beer with my father and your father? That it is a tanai and you have to fulfill that. And if you don't, then it's not going to be a get. So on that, Amlecha Rava tells you, I agree to the deek you're making the Braisa. And that halacha is correct. But it's not similar to the case that I dispute with Abaya regarding when the stipulation was that she should eat basar chazer. Why? Because whereas Bishlema basar chazer, by when he tells her on the condition that you eat non-kosher meat, so that is within her ability to fulfill, albeit that it's prohibited, but the way Rava described it was, she could eat and she could get lashes. So therefore, that's why he disagreed with Abaya, and he said Yehuda ben Tema would agree that it would be a valid tonight. It's not like something impossible to do. You could do it. Yes, it's going to have its consequences spiritually and whatever, whatnot, but you could do it. So too, says Rav, I would agree in the first case of the Braisa, Pleini Nami, when he told her on the condition that you have be with that person, it's also something that she could fulfill. Why? Because she could bribe him with money. In other words, if he doesn't want to have unmarried relations with her, which was the condition for her get in the first place, but she could entice him, she could bribe him to marry her and have a permitted bia, and then I'll pay you whatever money it costs. Just I need to be divorced, and that's the tanai. So that's why I agree in those cases it's considered a tanai, including my case. I disagree with you with basa chazer. But el abava vicha, you're right. Regarding if he would make a stipulation on the condition that you have be with my father and your father, I agree that in that case it's not going to be a valid tanai. Because biti de kaima? Is that something that's within her ability to fulfill? No, it's actually just like walking across the river. Why? Nehidi ihi avdi isur, because yes, although maybe she would do an isur, which, so therefore it's within her free will. And she could do that. And therefore maybe you would say basa chazer, but abba vavicha mi avdi isura? Would her father and his father do an isur? No. Why should they engage in isur? They actually have nothing to gain. And therefore, it's essentially considered like something that's ef shalakaimai. It is just like walking across the ocean, because she can't do it. Because although maybe she might do an isser, which yes, if she can do it, then we consider it feasible, and therefore, as Rav interpreted Yehuda ben Tema, even he would consider it a valid tanai. But in this case, it's not considered a valid tanai because it's the same thing. It's not within her wherewithal to fulfill because there are other parties that need to be involved, which then they're not going to be willing to violate an isser. So now, based on the way we interpret it now, which Rav seems to be qualifying exactly what's considered an isser that would be feasible and which would not be feasible. So the Gemara explains that L'Rava, when Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema said that this is the general rule, which again, as we said, is an inclusive term, what would be including things that are impossible to do, La suye abba vavicha. Yes, that would include like your dig from the Braisa, if he says on the condition that you have be with my father, your father, which that would also be something that's impossible for her to fulfill, okay, because those parties wouldn't want to do it. So you're right, that would be considered not a valid tonight. But when he said the exclusionary term of kezeh, such a case is considered get, when he argued on the Rabbanan, was lemu'ute basa chazer. That was coming to exclude the case of eating non-kosher, because it is possible for her to fulfill. You could be over an isser, and you can get malchus. So therefore, he considers that, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, as a valid tanai. It's not considered in what Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema terms, ef shalakaimai. Now, as we continue on to Amud Beis, that's according to Rav. Labaya, what does he do with the exclusionary and the inclusionary terms? So Klal, when Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says this is the general rule, which is coming to include things that are impossible to fulfill, that Abaya holds is lasuya basa chazer, because that's on the point that he disputes with Rav. He holds that's also impossible to fulfill, because a Jew can't eat non-kosher. And if that's the condition that he's making, well, that's just the same as walking across the ocean by foot, which is impossible, and therefore that's included, that it is a valid get, and you don't have to fulfill it tonight. When Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema said kezeh, that, oh, this is considered get, But that sounds like, but something that's similar to this would not be considered get, meaning it would be considered feasible, is lemu'ute plaini. It's coming to exclude the case when he told her that on the condition that you have beer with that man. Where there, Abaye would agree that in what Yehudim and Tim is coming to say, that it would not be a get until she has beer with him. Because that is in her wherewithal to bribe him with money and then to have a permitted cohabitation with him, which no one's doing any Yisurim. You're right, for Isur, that's considered impossible. But the woman could do it. She could finagle. She could do what it takes to have be with that man by creating a marriage. Divorce your wife. Whatever it takes, I'll pay you the money. She could do it. And therefore, in that case, since she ultimately, it's in her wherewithal to fulfill that tanai, she would have to. And therefore, that would not be considered something that's impossible. Now, the Gemara continues and says, Meisve. The Gemara now asks on Abaye's interpretation from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, if the husband tells the wife, Hareza Gitech, this is your get, Amenasha Teichli Basar Chazer, on the condition that you eat non-kosher swine meat. Or, let's say, Vimhoitzer Zara, let's say she was a non-Kohenes. And he tells her, Amenasha Teichli B'Truma, on the condition that you eat Truma, again, something forbidden for a woman that's not married to a Kohen or a Bas Kohen. Or, let's say, Vimhoitzer Nazira, let's say she was a woman that had taken a vow to forbid herself from any wine derivatives. And he tells her that this is your get amenasha tishtayin, in the condition that you drink wine. Again, what's forbidden to her? Says the Braisa, niskayim hatanai, if the condition is fulfilled, she eats the chazer, she drinks the wine, she partakes of the truma, then that raises a get, then that's a get. Vimlav ain't a get, but if not, it's not a get. So the Gemara asks, l'rabba nicha. That works well according to Rabba, who says, yeah, it's considered a get she'efsha lehiskayim, because you could violate an esther and get the consequences. So therefore, it's a valid tanai, you have to fulfill it. But Labaya Kasha, according to Labaya, it's difficult. Because he said, you don't have to fulfill the Tanai of Isser. And here the condition was the case actually that they disputed regarding Basel Chazer. And it says that she has to fulfill the Tanai. So Amalcha Abaya tells you, Mi Savar Divya Kolhi, you think this price is going according to everybody? Hamani, who is the town of this price? It's Rabbanan, it's Rabbanan, who we quote on the Manalf. Yes, they dispute Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. And that is, Abaya would tell you, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, he would hold that it's not a Tanai. And you wouldn't have to fulfill it. And it would be a get. Because he holds something that's impossible to do, you don't have to fulfill it. And then Isser is impossible to do. This price that says you have to fulfill it is going like the Rabban who disputed it. And they say even if it's impossible, it's not a get until you fulfill the impossible. And if you don't fulfill it, it's not a get. So they were saying the same idea. So it's not a difficult now on Abaye because Abaye is only going in Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Now the Gemara asks a general question on this price. Whether it's Rava in Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema or it's like Abaye saying the opinion of the Rabbanan. But the Gemara asks, but typically, but there's something that's difficult with this braisa beyond what we just discussed. It's saying that, okay, that you have to fulfill the condition. Again, whether because it's like Rabbanan who hold that opinion or like Rabba who holds doing an Isra is considered something that's feasible. But typically, the masna masha kasa b'teruhu. There's a different problem over here. The husband has made a stipulation for the get to be a get only. It was contingent on the violation of a biblical halacha, which is to eat treif, whatever it is to consume something forbidden. Now we know there's a general halachic dictum, b'chol ha'masna, masha kasa b'teira. Whoever makes conditions to violate a biblical precept, tanai batal, the tanai, the condition is void. So therefore the Gemara's question is that even if you're going to say that the person could fulfill the iser, so again, like the Rabbanan, or like the way Rabbi says, b'chol ha'masna, but how does the Tanai have halachic validity? It's a masna masha kasa b'teira, and that's the halacha, the Tanai is bottled. So Amar Rav Adda b'Reid of Ikka, he qualifies, he says, Ki amrinan masna masha kasa b'teira, Tanai bottled. When did we say that if someone makes a condition that will violate a biblical halacha, that then the Tanai is bottled? That's kagoyin she'erik susa b'inasa. That would be like, let's say in the case, when the husband gets engaged to a woman, on the condition that he's not going to give her clothing, he's not going to give her marital intimacy, he's not going to give her food, to hu ka'akar, where he's uprooting the biblical halacha, because the requirement is on him when he's getting engaged to fulfill these things, and he's saying, I'm not going to do that. That's a masna kasa b'teira, because the Torah says you have to do that. Therefore, the tanai is not valid, and you have to do those things. Abul hacha ihi ka'akar, but says the Gemara, over here, he's not uprooting it, she's uprooting it. Meaning, it's not his condition in the get that's uprooting the halacha. Maybe he's causing it, but she's the one that's eating the treif. So it's not his condition that's doing it, it's her that's doing it, and therefore he's not being masna masha kasa b'teira. Masna masha kasa b'teira would be if the guy who's making the condition is doing the violation. Here he's not doing the violation, she's doing the violation. Now, on that mask about the Ravina, but Ravina asked on this interpretation of Ada Bereder of Ika, he says, wait, Klumka Akra Ihi. What do you mean? You think when she's violating this halacha, why is she violating it? Ela likayumi letanoi didei. It's only to fulfill his condition. So ishtakech the Iuka Akra. So then he says, he is being masha kashbatera. Because when she's violating, why is she violating? Only because of his condition. So ultimately, it is his condition that's causing the violation. So he is being masnamashbekazbatayr. So the question is back again. So how is it a valid condition that we're seeing in the brisa that she has to fulfill? So Elam Ravina, rather Ravina says, he says, ki amrina masnamashbekazbatayr tonight batal. He gives a different qualification. He says, when did we say this halacha that if you're making conditions that are negating a biblical halacha, that then the Tanai is void, you don't have to fulfill the condition, is kagoyin she'er k'suzah v'ainah. So like the example we gave before, when he gets married to a woman on the condition that he won't give her the clothing, the food, and the marital relations like he's obligated, we're devadei ka'akar. We're there, most definitely it's inevitable that he's uprooting the biblical halacha because he gave her kedushin, and she's his wife, which obligates him in all these three things. When he makes the condition that he's not obligated, so he's right away, then he's uprooting the biblical halacha. Aval halacha, but over here, mi ka'amar la, did he tell her lo yisagid le'achla, that it's not enough that if she's not going to eat the chazer? No, she doesn't have to eat the chazer. Lo yitecha v'lo yitegarish, don't eat and don't get divorced. His condition is not mandating, he's not coming straight out and definitely uprooting it. There's a possibility. In other words, if she wants to get divorced, then she'll eat chaz, and then yes, he might have been the cause. But it's not directly coming and uprooting the Torah. Don't eat, and you won't be divorced. So therefore, that's not considered a masna mash because of a Torah, because it's not inevitable by his condition. And therefore, it's a valid tenai, and therefore, if she wants to be divorced, she would have to first violate that halacha, and only then be divorced. Now the Gemara returns to the discussion of our previous Mishnah, which we were discussing all along this Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, regarding if when a husband divorces his wife, he tells her you're permitted to everybody except for that individual. So we have the Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, she's permitted to all those others besides that person. Whereas the Chacham disagreed and he says, no, she's forbidden to everybody. So, and the reason being is because there was some shear in the get, there was some remnants, it wasn't a total krisis, a severance. So on that the Mishnah continued, it says, so Ketza Yasa, so what should they do now? So on that the Mishnah said, Yitlena Hemena Bechulutu, he should take it back from her. And then, now when he gives it back to her again, he should say, Harit Materis Lechaladim, and he shouldn't say this time, Ela Leplaini, excluding any individual. Now on that the Gemara asks, Man Tana, who's the Tana of our Mishnah, meaning in the opinion of the Rabbanan, that requires that he has to take it back from her, and that it's not enough with him just saying a new sentence and saying it over instead. Oh, I'm sorry, I said the first time besides that other guy. Let me do this over again. You hold on to the get. Harayat materas l'chaladam. Who is the Mishnah going like that it says it's not enough for him just to say the sentence, but rather you have to take it back and then do it over again? So Amar Chizki says it's Reb Shimon ben Elazar. It's going like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, which was mentioned in Perek HaZarik and Daf Ayin Ches and Aleph, regarding a case when the husband told his wife, here, take this shtar chayv. He didn't want, he was embarrassed. He didn't want to tell her that he's giving her a get. He says, take this this deed of document. She thinks it's something with the business. And then she finds out it's her get. So the Tanya learned in the Brais over there that Reb Shimon Lazarim, he says, that's obviously, it wasn't a valid benasim b'yada, because you have to notify her, as we learn from the Sefri, from Bishilcha, that she knows that what she's receiving is actually sending her away from this marriage. So Reb Shimon Lazarim says, it's not going to be valid until he first takes it back from her. And then he goes back and gives it back to her. And then and he says, this is your get. Because when he had originally given to her, she didn't know that what she was receiving was from for Vishilcha. She thought it's something related to the business. And she finds that it is. So now you can't just tell her. You would actually have to go back and take it back and do it over again, which seemingly is the same like the halacha of our Mishnah. So Chizkiyah says, the town of our Mishnah like Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Now, Rabbi Yechonon Amar, he says, afil teme Rebbe. You could even say that the Tana of a Mishnah is like Rebbe, who in that halacha, in regarding when you tell her it's a some shtar chayv and she takes it, that Rebbe disagrees with the B'Shemin Allah's over there, and he says that you don't have to take it back. Here he would agree that, and he could be the Tana of a Mishnah too, that you would have to take it back. Why? So Rabbi Yechonon says why? Because Dilchayin Amar, yours, your representative, yours said, now as Rashi explains, this is a reference to Rav Kahana, who, he was one of yours, meaning the Babylonians, who, because he was from Babel, Rav Kahana, and he came to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah from Rabbi Yechonon, which as the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, in HaGozel Basra, in Baba Kama Kofi Yitzayim Abayz, where he asked him many different questions. So it was regarding Rav Kahana that Rabbi Yechonon would always say, Tilchaynomar, because yours, you guys, you the Babylonians, your guy said, your representative, a reference to Rav Kahana. In other words, because Rav Kahana had explained that you could say that the Tanna Rabbi Mishnah is like Rebbe, why? Shani Hacha. Over here in our Mishnah is different. In other words, here Rebbe would agree that you would have to go back and take it back from her to re-give it. Hoyel v'kino'atu. Because since she has already acquired it on some level, the first time he gave it to her, for what has she acquired it? Didn't you say that it's not valid? Because you said chutz miplaini, and therefore it's not a valid gerushin? On some level, she has acquired the get. Lipasal by l'kahuna. To become invalidated from kahuna, because as we explained in the previous daf, if a woman is divorced only even partly, even just from her husband, we said from a pasuk that grusha meisha, even if she's only divorced from her husband and she's not even permitted to everyone else, she's already forbidden to kahuna. So here, when she first received it, if even according to Rebbe, if he wouldn't take it back from her, it wouldn't help now to say words. Why? Because the get was already executed. What does it mean executed? It's not a valid get. It was because it was valid on some level, already accomplished something to make her forbidden to kahuna. But in that case, by Perek HaZoirik, where when he tells it to her, oh, this is some type of shtar chayiv, there it didn't work at all. It didn't do anything because it's not a valid get. You have to notify her that it's for a get. And therefore, actually, that's where Rebbe says that you don't have to go back and take it because nothing happened yet. Nothing was executed. So I could still notify you. I did in the scene. I can notify you now that it's for your get to be sent away to fulfill Vishilcha. But here, it already did the job. So then it's already too late. The get was executed. You would have to go back and do it over again, even according to Rebbe. It's not necessarily like Reb Shimon Elazar in that halacha over there. Now, the Mishnah said, moreover, in the opinion of the Rabbanan, that, however, this was only talking about that you could do it over again if that was only orally, the stipulation. That he said, it was a regular get, but when he gave it to her, he said, it's your materis l'chaladim, besides for that person. No, it doesn't work. You got to go take it back and do it over again. But the Mishnah said, kesavah b'taychai. But if inside the get was written that stipulation, harayat materis l'chaladim chutz miplaini, then that's forever possible. It's not a valid get because that condition is not valid. And to even erase it's not going to be valid either. It wasn't written in its appropriate way. It was written that way. You would have to write a new get. Now, on this halacha, Amar of Safar, he says, Kesavei b'teich etznan. In our Mishnah, we learned that specifically it's a psul forever, only if that condition was written inside the get. In other words, only in that case is there nothing to do about it anymore. But if it wasn't written inside, even if he had notified the witnesses beforehand that he's only going to be divorcing her on the condition that she's forbidden to that guy, it's not going to invalidate the actual get itself. Meaning as long as when he had told her, when he does it over again, and he tells her when he's giving it over, it's going to work, it's going to be a valid get. Now the Gemara asks on Rav Safra, Pshita, pretty obvious. Our Mishnah said that it's only a problem if you write inside of it. What's he adding on that we didn't know in the halacha of the Mishnah itself? So that the Gemara says, no, ma detema, we would have thought to say without Rav Safra, hanemili, when did we say this? That you need it to be, that it's only a problem if you wrote it inside, and it's not going to be possible if, let's say, you just orally told the witnesses that you're writing it for that purpose. That's only where you told them, la'achar, after of the writing of hatayrif. After you already wrote the primary text of the get, then you told them, I'm a nashalei tenas l'plani, on the condition that she doesn't marry that guy. Now, there you would say that since the primary part of the get was written before he mentioned even the stipulation in the first place, so it wouldn't invalidate this that he told the witnesses to write it for that intention, unless, yes, it was written inside the text itself. But if it's orally, since it's after the writing of the tariff, okay, it's not going to invalidate the actual text itself. Aval, but what we would have thought without Rav Safram, if let's say lifnei ha-tayrif, let's say he tells them the stipulation, those who are authorizing the get, even before they wrote the primary text of the get, nafil al-pen, nami pasal, then we would think that even though he said it orally, it would invalidate the actual text itself. Why? Because the primary get itself was written with that intention of only that on the condition that she doesn't marry that guy. So you would think that then the get would be totally invalid and you wouldn't be able to even do it over again, meaning to take it back and then do it. Kamash Mulan, that's Rav Safra's teaching, that no, the Mishnah says only if it's written inside, that's invalidation in the core of the text itself. That is a get you can never use. But if he said it orally, even before the whole get was written, it's still not going to be invalidation for the actual text itself. And as long as he says, when he divorces her, it's going to be valid. That's Rav Safra. But Rava Amar, he actually argues and he actually makes that difference. And he says, no, lo yishanu ela achat tayif. We only learned in the Mishnah that the only time it's going to be a psul forever, like something that's eternally void, only if it was after the tayif was written. But says Rav, if let's say even if it was oral, but if the stipulation was made before they even wrote the text to the get itself, even if it was an oral stipulation, it's an invalidation in the get itself. And the Gemara actually says, "V'az the Rav l'tame." Rav actually went according to his opinion because the Amalu Rav lahanu dechsiba giti. Rav would tell those who would write the gitin, he would tell the scribes, "Shasku shtuki labal." You should silence the husband, meaning you should be stern with him that he shouldn't mention any stipulations. Adech savisu le latarif de gita until you finally write the tarif of the get. Because Rav Lishitasi held, according to his opinion, that if he makes an oral stipulation, even before, meaning even if it's orally, but it's before the tariff of the get, it's actually going to be invalidation in the get itself. So therefore, he would tell them, don't let him say anything until after, where then, although then we could try to appease him, but the get will be a core of a get that's valid, and then we'll be able to convince him that, hey, this is not going to work, and therefore, you know, to take away his conditions, but if it was made before, it's an invalidation in the get itself. Now, a related discussion to this, the Gemara brings Tanya Rabban, learn the Braisa. Kol ha-tanoin paislam get. This first opinion, Divri Rebbe, Rebbe holds, any condition that's written in the get itself, even if you fulfill the condition, is actually going to be a pasul get. which as we'll see, the reason for this is because he's concerned of the case when you write a tanai of chutz, of excluding someone, which we said that could be problematic. So therefore he says, any condition written in the get is going to be pasul. Whereas v'chachamim, they say no. Kol she paisel al peh, paisel b'ksav. Any condition that would be problematic if he said orally, like let's say the opinion of the Rabbanan when you see chutz mi'plaini, then it would paisel b'ksav. Then it makes the core of the get, as we learned in the halacha of the Mishnah, puzzle. But v'chol she in the paisel al peh, in the paisel b'ksav. Any case of where orally, if you made a stipulation that wouldn't be problematic, like on condition that you feed my father for 3 years, which that's a valid condition, then if you write that in the get, that's also not going to invalidate it. It's a valid get. You just have to fill those conditions, not like Rebbe. So the Gemara explains what are the cases. Chutz, if the stipulation was except for that person, where, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, according to the Pinyin of the Rabbanan, should paisel al peh, where that's an oral stipulation which invalidates the get, because that's what's called shear beget, you're leaving over somewhat of the gerish, it's not a full creases, well then the Rabban, then we would agree that paisel b'ksav. Then that would be a problematic if you write in the text itself forever, as we learned in the Mishnah. But amanas, but if it's just on the condition, she'enu paisel al peh, which that wouldn't invalidate the get itself, because yeah, just for the condition, then enu paisel b'ksav, then that wouldn't invalidate even if it's written into the get itself. They disagree with Rebbe, who's concerned for the case of chutz. Now the Gemara actually qualifies this machlokes, Rebbe and the Chacham, from this braisa. Amar Rebbe Zeir, he says, machlokes, this machlokes between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. When you write in the get, al menas, on condition, which the Rabbanan said, that's not a problem. You can make conditions orally, so you can make it in the get too. It's not a problem. It's not a puzzle. But Rebbe said that no, any al menas is going to be a problem, even any condition, if it's written into the get. So Rebbe Zeir qualifies that that's only if it's written lefnei ha-tarif, and this is where it comes in relation to the previous Gemara's discussion, only if the condition was written in the get before the tarif, which is the primary text of the get itself. Where the Rebbe Savar, gazrinin amanas, atuchutz, where Rebbe's concerned that if we allow you to write on condition, so people are not going to be able to differentiate what's the difference if I say on condition or accept, meaning on condition you don't marry that guy or accept that guy, where chutz is problematic before the tarif is written. So because of that, we say amanas is also problematic, because you might come to write chutz. Rabbanan sabri lo gezrin amanas at the chutz, but the Rabbanan don't make such a gezera. That's if it was written before the tarif. But says Rabbi Zeira, avol acha tarif, if the condition, just a generic condition, was written after the tarif, then as we continue to have a peheiman alf, devei hakol, and everyone agree that other conditions are going to be kosher, because as Taisis says, because even writing chutz after the tarif is also not problematic, only rabbinically, because of a gezeri that you might come to write it before the tarif. So we're not going to make a gezeri le gezeri to say, wait a second, you can't write amanas after the primary part of the text in the get itself, because you might write chutz. And if you write chutz after the tarif, you might write chutz before the tarif, of which that's the real problem. We don't, because that would be a gezeri le gezeri, so although we don't let you write chutz after the tarif, but that's rabbinically, amanas itself even according to Rebbe, would be permitted after the Tarif. Now, based on this interpretation of Reb Zeira, says the Gemara, Umasnitin de Ketani Kesavai. So our Mishnah that said this halacha, that if the Tanai is written inside the get, V'okimna b'chutz, and we explained in the beginning of the Perek, that what's the case that we're discussing in the Mishnah regarding this, except for that person, we learned it was b'chutz, aval almanas, but what we can infer from there is, but if let's say the condition was except, meaning on the condition that you don't marry that guy, not except for that guy, then even if it would be written inside the get, that lay possible, that it wouldn't be possible. Because the case that we described in the Mishnah that would be problematic, according to the opinion that we were mentioning over there, that of the Rabbanu who held that it wasn't a valid Tanai, would be only if you're writing what's a problem orally, which is chutz. And that would be a problem if you write it inside the get, which is chutz. But if you wrote inside the get almanas, it wouldn't be possible. So based on Reb Zeira's interpretation, if you want, you could say lefnei hatayif rabbanon, that the almanas that you're writing inside the get that's not problematic could even be before the tarif, like drabbanon, who hold you could write almanas even before the tarif. Or if you want, you could even say la'ach hatayif v'dirako, that this that the Mishnah is permitting to write inside the get itself, not permitting chutz, but permitting almanas. You could even say it's like Rebbe, if it's Toma after the Tarif, where that's not a problem, even according to Rebbe, the way Reb Zeira just interpreted. But that's according to the interpretation of Reb Zeira. Rav Amar, he disagrees in how you qualify this machlekes of Rebbe and the Rabbanan regarding not being able to write any condition inside the get itself. He says, actually, that the machlekes regarding writing any Tanai in the get is la'acha Tarif, is after the main part of the text of the get was already written. With the Rebbe Savar, Rebbe holds, that we do make a decree that we don't let you write it even after the tarif because you might come to write it before the tarif. Now, Tais addresses, although that even before the tarif is only a gzeira atu chutz, which she said before that's what's seemingly considered gzeira li gzeira, as we said in Reb Zeira's interpretation. What I mean, why can't you write amanas after the tarif? Because you might write chutz, but even chutz is only gzeira because you might write chutz before the tarif. So Tais says, no, Rebbe learns that it's considered one big gzeira. And the Rabbanu Savi, but the Rabbanu hold that like gezerin atulef ne'atayif, that we don't make a gzeru atulef ne'atayif, possibly because that would be a gzeru l'gzeru. You could write amanas after the tayif, because even if you would write chutz, would only be a gzeru of writing it before the tayif. So that's how Rabbi says. He says, no, the machlekes is not before the tayif, the machlekes is after the tayif. Avlef ne'atayif, but says Rabbi, but if you wrote amanas before the tayif was written, actually, divrei hakol pasul. Everyone hold that the get would be pasul, because everyone agrees that we'd make a gzera that you can't write a condition before the tarif, because you might come to write a case of chutz. And writing an exception of somebody in the get before the tarif was written is a full-fledged invalidation in the get itself, because even if you say orally, Rava holds that it wasn't written l'shem krisis, meaning even if you're saying orally before the tarif was written, that was the previous Gemara's discussion, Rava said, if he made the Tanai orally before the Tarif was written, that's an invalidation of the get itself. So for sure, if it's written in the get itself, chutz would be invalidation. Now, so therefore, that's the primary invalidation. So amanas, we're concerned there also. So that's the different interpretations. Reb Zeira says the machlekes is lefnei atarif, but acha tarif, everyone holds, would not be a problem amanas. Whereas Rava says, no, the machlekes is only acha tarif, but actually before the Tarif was written, everyone would agree that amanas would be a psul in the get. Now, based on his interpretation, the Gemara says, "Umasnitin diktani kesavai." Our Mishnah that says that if you write this problematic statement, which again, "Vukim nebachutz," that we said in the Mishnah is talking about a case of where the Chachamim say it's a psul. If you say that you're permitted to everyone except for that person, where we said that if you write into the get, that totally invalidates the get; it's totally void. That was only in chutz of amanas leposel. Therefore, but our Mishnah, the inference is, but if you write a condition almanas that you don't marry someone else, then the text of the get is not going to be pasul. Must be la'acha atayif rabbanei. According to Rava's interpretation, you could only say that what was written of almanas was only after the primary text of the get was written, and it's going according to rabbanan. Meaning, whereas according to Reb Zeira, you could say either two interpretations, either like the rabbanu or like Rebbe. According to Rava's interpretation and qualification of the machlekes, you could only say it's talking about after the tarif, and like the Rabbanan, because according to Rebbe, it's always possible, no matter where you write amanas in the get itself. Now, actually, the Gemara concludes with a story that relates to this machlekes, Reb Zeira and Rava. Tani avud Reb Oven kamed Reb Zeira. So Reb Oven taught a brisa in front of Reb Zeira as follows. Kasav get al tanai. if a husband writes a get on condition, divrei hakol pasul, everyone agrees that the get's going to be pasul. So Rabbi Zera asked him, divrei hakol pasul, everyone holds it's pasul? But v'hamiflik pligi, what do you mean? That's the machlekes. Now, and that's because Rabbi Zera is going according to his opinion that we just mentioned, where he said machlekes between Rebbe and the Rabban is even before the Torah was written. So in other words, the Chacham hold that it's always kosher, no matter where you write Almanas, even before the Torah. So you definitely can't say divrei hakol pasul. You never have a case of everyone holding that's pasul, because the Rabbanim never have a case that's pasul. They hold any Almanas is going to be permitted. So Ela'ema rather, says Reb Zera, you should learn the Braisa l'divrei hakol kosher. That there is a case that if you're writing a Tanai in the get, that according to everybody it's going to be kosher. Now, where do you have the according to everyone it's going to be kosher? Didn't we quote Rebbe before that saying that it's if you write it Tanai in the get, it's going to be pasul? So that Reb Zera told him, it's so malacha tarif. If you write the condition after the tarif was already written, that Reb Zera had interpreted, that Rebbe would agree that it's not going to be pasul. And that would be how you could amend your braisa that you would tell me over. Now, the Gemara asks on Reb Zera, but Vilema, Reb Zera should have told to this one who was teaching him the braisa that he should have amended it, hareze pasul, that say instead of the braisa saying that not divrei hakol, but rather that this is pasul, and say that v'rebi, that the time of the braisa is rebi. In other words, why did he say necessarily to amend it? Oh, don't amend divrei hakol, leave that, but amend from pasul to kasher. Why? The Gemara says maybe amend the word divrei hakol to hareze and leave it pasul. So who would it mean when it says if you make a tanai in the get, it's going to be pasul? It's going like Rebbe, because Rebbe holds that if you write a tanai in the get before the tarif, it's going to be pasul. So the Gemara says no. Reb Zera did not give that as an option. Because the Tana that was teaching this, divrei hakol asneye, he was taught by his Rebbe this braisa. Now, if the wording of the braisa was harezeh, that this is pasul, he would not have mixed up a singular, meaning that one person holds that this is pasul, with divrei hakol, with like that this is what everyone holds. Meaning, even if he forgot exactly what the braisa's text was, he would not have made such a mistake. But kasher bepasul michlefle. But you could mix up regarding, if you forgot exactly what the teaching was, regarding, oh, I thought it's that everyone agrees that it's pasul. No, everyone agrees that it's kasher. That you could make such a mistake. So that's why Reb Zera told him you should amend the braisa to say divrei hakol kasher. Because it makes sense that that's what his Rebbe was teaching him. But harezeh b'divrei hakol l'michlefle. No one makes the mistake to mix up harezeh or divrei hakol. You know if you were saying over from an individual or that this was a unanimous ruling. That's something that wouldn't be mixed up. Therefore, that's not what he amended. Rather, he said you should amend it. Yes, keep the divrei hakol. But instead of saying divrei hakol, pasul, because that can't be, because according to Reb Zera, the Rabban hold that it's always going to be permitted no matter where you write it. Rather, say divrei hakol, kosher. And how do you have a divrei hakol kosher? Again, that would be told malachat tarif, where even Rebbe would agree that according to Reb Zera, that if you write a tanai of amanas, the get's going to be kosher.